I was adopted at 6 months old. Between the ages of that and four, you're just a kid. You're not really aware of what people are saying to you and things like that. But Vera, she's about 87 now. She's still alive. Used to introduce me, and people used asking them days, going, "Oh, what do you call you, lad?"
She was your adopted mum.
Yeah, and she used to introduce me as, "This is Stephen. He's adopted. He's not my own, but I treat him as my own." That wasn't very nice. And as I grew up, I thought, "Well, I'm nobody's. I belong to nobody. Who do I belong to?" And that caused childhood psychosis. It's post-traumatic stress disorder brought from childhood, leaving me with a borderline personality disorder. I ran away from all things like that. No, there's nothing wrong with me. Drink, drugs, everything. It's really hard to explain. Instead of going up the hill to the top, I went down the hill to the bottom. And certain things happened that I can't explain now. Perhaps there isn't an explanation, perhaps it's just happening. But I knew there was always somebody with me. And childhood was difficult, really, really difficult. Kids at school would say, "Why haven't you got a mum and dad? Why are they looking after you?" And things like that. And I just got fed up with explaining to people. But that was damaging me. That was really, really damaging me mentally.
When you were at the worst of it all, I mean, when you were drinking, you were taking drugs, did you ever, did you think about whether there was a way out? Did you want a way out? Or was this just your way of trying to deal with everything?
It was my way of dealing things, because I had my first drink at about 13. And a guy that I used to come down and visit, a guy called Alan Jones, at Brown Brothers, which was on John Street, where I was brought up. And I used to see him with a small bottle of whiskey and things like that. Then he sent me to be happier. And I says, "I want to be happy like you," and he just passed me the bottle with back now. Everything gone. "Oh, I feel good now." And just a little thing like that. And I saw a beard, she takes tablets to this day. And I said, "What do you take them tablets for?" "Oh," she said, "they make me feel better." And I thought, So when she'd gone away, I knew where the tablets were, so I took six, sodium amytal. In they went, and I was quite ill. Hospital, everything. And it was the wrong thing to do. Nobody took any notice. First when I took them, I can remember a cousin running me around the yard, dragging me around the yard, putting salt water down me and things like that. It was bizarre, really, now I think of it, but I don't have any harsh feelings about that at all. It was just how people dealt with things in them days.
And looking back, I mean, given that now you've been through rehab, you're
five rehabs,
very strong in your faith. Yeah. Do you ever think that perhaps what you went through was somehow meant to be?
Now I do. I haven't always thought that. I was I blamed everybody. Like if I'd lost a girlfriend, and another woman that's giving me away, and turned to the favourite stuff, the most popular stuff at the time. But I've met some lovely people. A strange happening, when I was 9 years old, I used to stay out longer than what you was told to come home, and London Road was a busy road, and I'm trying to get to Dixon's Chip Shop, which was at the other side. All of a sudden, this guy with a turban on appeared at the side of me, put his suitcases down, put his hand on my shoulder, and took me across the road. And I ran straight into the shop, and Mr. Dixon says, have you got across the road? I said, "That man." And we both stood on the door, and we looked up the road, down the road, there was nobody in sight, there wasn't anybody there. I've got a name for him, I'll call him Kalyana Singh. That's the guy, I'm sure he's there, the guardian angel is there. And I took that all through life. I think one of the most remarkable things that I did, I searched and searched and searched. There must be more than one Dodworth about. And I actually found seven brothers and a sister, which wasn't really the sort of thing. I was the only one that they said that had been brought up in, that was sort of like given away, but they were lying to me. Your mum never forgot you. She lit a candle every day for you at St. Marie's. So I went to St. Marie's, saw the priest, he'd never heard him, didn't do nothing in any book or anything like that. I was told that I was the only one that had been like that, but I'd already met Clyde, another brother.
What does your faith mean to you now? Talking to me now, 2017, with all this in your past, what does your faith mean to you?
It's important. It's the first thing I do before I go to bed. No matter what the day's been like, you're going to have ups and downs, in whether you've got drug problems, alcohol problems. It's just important, really, really important. I don't go through a day now without saying thank you to everybody that's willing to help me. I could name a list now. Mick Hartley, Danielle, young Matt, Adam, Danny. What a share he, what a share that was. And people think because there's tears, like I'm talking about it now, I can feel myself welling up.
I can see.
It's really, really important.
Well, Steve, thank you ever so much for talking to us on BBC Radio Sheffield. I wish we could talk more, but we're out of time. It's been a great story. And thank you for sharing a very personal journey with us on Radio Sheffield.